Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study coming from Roland Springs Baptist Church. And we are in the study of the book of Daniel from God's Holy Word. And we're on lesson number 4. So as we begin this lesson, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for each time that you allow us to come together and study your word. And Father, we cannot learn and know anything without you. It's through your Holy Spirit that teaches us your truths. And Father, we pray now that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct us as we study, and give us wisdom and knowledge that we may live it out in our lives each day. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Now, we will begin by a review. Today, we're on lesson 4 in chapter 2. But we want to look back at chapter 1 and get a review so we can see of where we are in our study. Daniel, we've learned that the story or the study of Daniel is about kings and kingdoms of the earth. And the main theme of the book of Daniel is that God Most High rules over the realm of mankind. So God instructed Israel how they were to live as his people, and they didn't obey. So at the time of Daniel, they went into exile, 70 years of captivity because of their sin. Now in Daniel 1, the sons of royals and nobles were being educated to serve in the court of the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar, who took them captive, and God was still in control, and he gave Judah in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So we saw in this first chapter that God gave Daniel favor and compassion from the commander of the official of Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel and his friends, he gave wisdom and intelligence beyond the others in the king's court. And he also gave Daniel the ability to understand visions and dreams. Now, as we look at this study, we want to remember that this is the Word of God. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a history story, but it is God's Word, the truth, and it was inspired and written down by the men that God called to write His Word. In other words, this was written by God Himself. The Scripture tells us that all that was written was from the finger of God. So we want to be sure that we understand that as we read through and study. Now, looking at the second chapter of Daniel, we want to see that in this second chapter, it took place, when it took place, and it was in Nebuchadnezzar's second year. And then Daniel and his friends would have been still in their education process. Remember last study that it took 3 years for the king to have them prepared to be in his service. So we want to start today by reading Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now, this is going to be a more extensive lesson today, but just bear with me as we study through this and keep our minds attentive upon the Word of God. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And when they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." And then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell the servants the dream, and we will interpret it." And the king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and then we will interpret it." And then the king answered, "I am certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There's no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any musician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Now, what do we see in these first 13 verses? What is the Word of God saying to us? First, we see that Nebuchadnezzar is having a dream, and this has been a very troubling dream, so much that he wanted to be sure that the interpretation was genuine. So very wisely, as a king, he asked his physicians, his conjurers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to tell him the dream as well as the interpretation. And here we see that he recognized that they were probably just making up interpretations and therefore was just bargaining for time. Verse 11 really summarizes their response. Let's go back and look at that verse. It says, "What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." So we see that whenever the king gave orders to kill the wise men in Babylon, Arad looked for Daniel and his friends also. Why was Arad, the king's official, looking for Daniel and his friends? Remember that they too are a part of the king's service. They have been assigned also in the king's courts. And that's who he is called
all of these wise men. He summoned the magician, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers. And these were all men of great education and knowledge. And so we know that Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have all become great wise men. So if he is looking for them, they would receive the same thing that the king has predicted for these wise men, that if they didn't interpret the dream, if they didn't tell the dream and they didn't interpret it, that they too would die. So in verses 14 through 16, let's go on now and read these verses and see how that Daniel took care or handled the situation, and also how it relates to chapter 1. Reading verses 14 through 16. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And he asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" And Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. And at this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. And then we see later on how that Daniel returns. But looking at these verses, Daniel used discretion and discernment when he replied to Arioch, the king's officer. And here we see the wisdom of Daniel. He had done the same thing in chapter 1 as he sought permission about refusing the king's food and then presented the 10-day dietary test. So Daniel has just been told that he was to be killed, but he replied with great discretion and discernment. So remember, at this time also, Daniel was very young. And so looking today at believers, what do we need whenever we face many trials and many tests in our life? We need to be like Daniel. We need to have discretion and discernment when dealing with the situations of life. We have many traumas and many panics that come in our life, and if we haven't had, we will have sometimes to deal with these things. So we need to be like Daniel. We need to have great discretion and discernment, and we need to do what Daniel did. Let's see what he does in verses 17 through 23. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings, and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Okay, let's go now to the rest of this. In verse 22, he reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power, and you have made known to me what we ask of you. You have been made known to us, the dream of the king. So, what do we see? What do we learn about God and about Daniel in these verses? Whom did God turn to in this situation? Where did he go for wisdom? And what did he do when his life was threatened? First of all, he told his friends so that they could pray, seeking compassion from their God. So we see that Daniel goes to God. He knows where his help lies. And then we see that God is described here as the God of heaven, who has wisdom and power, the one who changes the times and removes and establishes kings. God also reveals the hidden, and he knows what is in the darkness. So here we see that God answers their request. So, in looking at this in our own lives, do we seek God in prayer when things are bad? We must remember that he is the same God as the God of Daniel, and he still answers questions. So, we too need to go to God anytime that we have questions, anytime that we don't understand things, anytime that we have troubles and trials, because he is the same God today as he was then. Now looking at verses 24 through 30, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." And the king asked Daniel. Also, remember, they changed his name to Belshazzar. So he asked him, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And Daniel replied, "No man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries shown you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may make known the interpretation, and that you may understand what went through your mind." So, what do we see now in verses 24 through 30? How do they relate back to the verses in 20 and 23? First of all, we see that Daniel doesn't take the credit for himself. God has given him the vision, and he tells Nebuchadnezzar about the God of heaven who reveals mysteries. So he knows that it didn't come from him, and he doesn't take the credit. But he had gone to God, and he knew that it came from God. So God told Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel of what would take place in the latter days, literally in the end of days. So from verse 29, it seems like Nebuchadnezzar was thinking about the future. And then God gave him the dream, which told the future. Now, let's go forward in verses 31-35. Your Majesty looked. This is Daniel interpreting the dream, telling him what the dream was. Your Majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, let's look at the details of the dream. The great statue was large and extraordinary, and each part of it had a different material. So, let's look at what it's saying. I think as we look at this, it may be easier for us to look at verses 36 and 45 because Daniel here in these verses are giving King Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. So let's look further in the verses 36 through 45 because this is the interpretation of what the king dreamed. And this is what we want to get to the source of this. And I'll read these quickly, 36 through 45. And this is what Daniel said. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. And he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky and wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. And you are the head of gold. And after you, another kingdom will arise inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the earth. And finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly baked clay and partly iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron, partly clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong, partly brittle, and just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will remain united. Any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of the kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed nor will be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it will itself endure forever. And the last verse, 45, says, this is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. So now let's look at this interpretation. In verses 37 and 38, it's about Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel tells him that he is the king right now at this time to whom God gave dominion, and he was the king of kings. He had full power and strength and glory, and he was the statue of the head of gold. Remember, the statue was in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. That's what his dream was about, was this statue. So Daniel is saying the head of the statue represents you, O king. You are now king of kings over Babylon. So then verse 39 tells of a kingdom after Nebuchadnezzar, which was inferior to his, and that was the silver breast and two arms of the statue. And here this represented the other kingdom that would follow Babylon, that would conquer him, and it was the Medo and the Persians. And that's what God is telling Daniel. And after this, then he is saying, Daniel says to the king, the third kingdom was of bronze, and this kingdom would have rule over the earth, and this kingdom would be Greece. Greece would overtake Medo-Persia, and they would be the third kingdom. And then the statue's belly and thighs were the bronze part that he saw in this great statue in his dream. Now, it seems like after the Babylonian kingdom, we see the Medo-Persian, and then we see that the third one that rules the earth, the second one is inferior over the third one, which is Greece. And then we look at the rest of the interpretation, and we look at verses 40 through 43. It describes the fourth kingdom, and it was different from all the others. It's Daniel says that it was like iron, and it crushes and shatters and will break the other kingdoms in pieces. The iron and the clay mix represented a divided kingdom. It was part strong and part brittle. And this fourth kingdom was representing Rome that would follow the Greece. It would overtake the kingdom of Greece. So here we're seeing that this kingdom is going to be divided, and it'll be partly strong and partly brittle. And then you look at the toes, and he says there are 10 of them. So that represents 10 kingdoms. Of the feet are specifically mentioned in verses 42 and 44. And they are kings. They represent kings in whose time the kingdom of God will be set up. Now this is going to be a time that Daniel was given by God of the future. And so here, looking at verses 44 and 45, we see that God reveals to Daniel to interpret for the king the final kingdom, and that final kingdom is going to be the kingdom of God, which is represented by the stone and the mountain. And God's kingdom will put an end to the earthly kingdoms and endure forever. The stone will be cut without hands, and it struck the statue and crushed all of it, and then the wind blew it and the kingdoms of the earth away like chaff, and the stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, there is much scripture in the Bible about the stone. So I just want to touch a little bit on the stone, and we're going to go in further details as we study about this stone. First of all, it was cut without hands. It put an end to the kingdoms of the earth and became the kingdom of God. And in Scripture, God called Jesus the chief cornerstone, and he was rejected by the builders, and that builders was Israel. Israel rejected him when he came upon this earth and represented God himself, and they didn't believe in him. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah, but he is the foundation stone of all those that do believe. And he is a choice. He is tested. He is costly. He is a precious cornerstone for the foundation. And believers are living stones built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. To those who do not believe, who are disobedient to the word, he becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In Genesis 49, God's word calls him the shepherd, the stone of Israel, who came from Jacob, Israel. And we know that Jesus Christ is the firmly placed foundation of the kingdom of God. So after crushing the statue, the stone in the dream became a great mountain, a kingdom, and filled the whole earth. Now let's look at the last verses quickly and wrap this up, 45 through 49. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. So he is saying here that this vision, he says this is the meaning of the vision. This great rock wasn't cut out by human hands that broke all of these other empires, these other nations. We're looking at what has been in the past as we read and study the Word of God in the book of Daniel. And here we see that Daniel was given, even then, in that time, the future, what was going to take place. And that is going to take place yet in our future. And in studying in the book of Daniel, every chapter of Daniel, except two chapters, refers to the future that is written down by the Word of God given to John the Revelator in the book of Revelation. So what he is saying here, that he recognized that this was true. The king says, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation trustworthy. So the king recognized then that Daniel's God is a God of gods, and he is Lord of kings, and he is a revealer of mysteries. So we know that he gave Daniel gifts and set him over the whole province of Babylon, and appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of Babylon. So the kingdoms of Daniel too are mostly past, but there is reference to the end times. So what does it teach us about God? It teaches us that God is who he says he is, and that we must believe by faith. This is what Daniel and his three friends, how that God used them because of their faith. Faith and that practice of faith. They didn't only have faith, they put their faith to practice. So faith is dead without works. We can have faith, but if we don't put it to practice, then it's dead. So Daniel and his friends, we see all through what we have studied so far, put their faith to practice. So the world today is trying to bring about a one world government, the European Union and the United Nations. And they will try, but they won't be successful. Go back and read Revelation 17, chapter 17, verse 12 through 13. And I want to quickly read these verses to us as we finish up this study. This is chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. So here we see in this vision given to John the Revelator in the book Revelation, it tells us how that in the future all and every kingdom is going to be destroyed when Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom. It will be the final kingdom. So we need to be in prayer as we continue our study, that God will reveal his word and give us understanding. We want to learn not only of what God has in store for the future, but we want to learn what God has for us today, now, that we can bring him honor and glory. So be much in prayer for me and for each other as we study this wonderful study that God has written down for us. Let us close now in prayer. Father, thank you again for writing it down for us, for giving us your word, your truth. And we just ask for your knowledge and wisdom to understand, Father. And may we see how that you may use us in this time that we're living in today to bring you honor and glory. And we ask it now all in the name of Jesus. Amen.